You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Welcome to OK Sis Podcast.
Hi, sisters. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Scout.
And we are sisters IRL.
I'm the older one.
Yes, Scout. We know.
Here at OK Sis, we believe women are multifaceted.
Which is why you can expect sisterly banter on a wide range of topics such as pop culture, our entrepreneurial journeys, and mental health routines.
We promise it'll be informative.
And silly.
As long as you don't get too loud, Mads.
Welcome to the sisterhood. Hello. And welcome back to the podcast that is called OK Sis. And I'm Madela.
You know what, Mads? You should just stick to what you know and come in slow. Not your forte, Mads. Not your forte.
I'm not a slow gal. I was really second guessing myself. I'm really sorry. I tried to shake it up and it failed. I failed. And you know what, Scout? I'm not afraid of failure anymore. It's...
Okay, the snickering of your laugh is just too great. It's just too great.
Scout, you grew up with the snicker. You grew up with the snicker. All right. You don't need to seem like it's this new thing that's happening to my voice. Like, I've always had this cackle of a laugh.
I was going to say, I can't tell if it's a cackle or a snicker. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of, I don't even think a snicker is a word that people use to describe laughs.
You know, it's a combination. It's a beautiful combination. It's an intersection of the snicker and the cackle. It has its unique identifier. And you know what? I love it. I don't care how annoying people think I am.
I picture you kind of as like the witch from Wizard of Oz when you...
Oh, okay. All right. Coming in hot. Okay.
Hello, sisters. I am Scout, as Mads has said a couple times, but I thought that I deserved to also introduce myself into this episode.
Yeah, when we do intro, or where I should say when I do the intro, I just kind of always go straight into the conversation and I leave you in the dust and I leave you with the sans introduction, and I apologize.
You know what? Common theme of our relationship doesn't just happen in the intros. I think this is something that we can pinpoint back to history as a trend between the two of us, and it's okay. I accept that you oftentimes leave me in the dust, and I would legitimately take a bullet for you. It's just the dynamic.
You know, I think it's a dynamics between an older sister and a younger sister. Sisters, dear listeners, please let us know if this is something you experience as an older versus younger sister, because I think it's very much rooted in that dynamic.
Definitely. Yeah, that's what I tell myself so that I don't cry myself to sleep every night. Just kidding. Okay, so sisters, this episode, we are going to release a recording of one of the live Green Room shows that we do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We do a live show on Green Room, which is Spotify's app. And we had a ridiculously good inflow, out of body, or I should say full body chills conversation. We did a little mental health check-in. And when we hopped off Green Room, we knew that we had to publish it.
Yeah, I think, you know, we don't typically publish these conversations because they're, you know, very special in the moment conversations. And we like to, you know, on Green Room, if you haven't joined with us, there's a little discussion chat. So people are always chatting as we're talking. So it kind of feels very collaborative. So we don't tend to post them on our regular podcast feed. But after we got off, we were just, I don't know, it felt really important to share that episode just because, you know, I've just evolved so much and I'm like a wise old woman. Coming back to the wise old witch analogy.
You know what, Mads?
Don't know if witches are wise.
Wise is my adjective. So
I know, but this conversation, like, I was fucking wise, you know?
Yeah. You know, I have to say that while you were talking, I was thinking in my mind, if we transcribed the conversation and someone just read the quotes, one would think that it was me talking. I'm not going to lie.
I know. You guys, Scout and I did like a Parent Trap situation. We switched places.
Oh, well, I don't know if we switched places, but that's okay. Although, you know what? I just always, God, when I, you know, Parent Trap came out when I was like kindergarten, and I just wanted that to be my reality when I was young. You know, I wanted to be a Spice Girl, and I wanted Parent Trap to be my reality.
Yeah. Ooh, I would like to bring up something for you.
Oh.
So I know that you are not watching The Bachelor, but it did premiere this past week. And so I just wanted to bring up something that was super funny. One of the gals who got voted off, which is really sad, voted off. She just, you know, wasn't as bad.
What is up with this gal thing? You keep saying gals.
I don't know. I'm just like, actually, I don't know where this came from.
Okay.
So there's a gal that voted off of The Bachelor. And of course, I forgot her name. But her occupation was bar mitzvah dancer. And as I do every week, I was listening to Bachelor Party with Juliet Littman on The Ringer, which is the best Bachelor podcast there is out there. And her and Jared Freed, our good friend Jared Freed, were discussing ad nauseum, at length, the bar mitzvah dancer experience and how, like, they couldn't believe that, like, people didn't grow up with knowing what a bar mitzvah dancer is. It's just such a niche specific thing that we just, like, weirdly, like, claimed as normal while we were growing up.
Yeah. Question. How old do you think the average bar and bat mitzvah dancer is?
I mean, probably late 20s. And they're literally, like, boogieing and twerking with these 13-year-old, like, little snot-nosed Jewish kids.
You know what? At your bat mitzvah, the bar and bat mitzvah dancer, so we all jumped in the pool after your bat mitzvah because we had it at our dad's house. They jumped in the pool with us, and I feel like that's a line that they crossed. That is a professional line that they crossed. They joined the fucking party.
Oh my God. I mean, look, they were the hype men. Like, they were integral to the party. They were hyping us all up. They, you know, remember Coke and Pepsi. They're facilitating the games. Like, and they were always wore black and red, like, weird, always. Why was that the bar mitzvah uniform?
I don't know. But you know what? Like, the peak of my party life was eighth grade.
Oh, 100%.
Because sometimes I had 3 bar bat mitzvahs to go to in a weekend, and they were all elaborate. They were beautifully done. They were in gorgeous hotels. We were, you know, grinding to 50 cents. We were making out under the tables. It was a good fucking time.
Oh, yeah. And also, it was peak music. Like, and we always reference that era of music as bar mitzvah music. It's like,
yeah, peak music.
50 Cent, Ludacris, Usher, just, I mean, the most nostalgic. Whenever I make a playlist, I search bar mitzvah music in Spotify, and there are so many good playlists that I kind of, like, peruse through. It's just, it is its own genre.
That's a good flex. Like, look up bar mitzvah playlist. Yeah, that's a hot tip.
Hot tip. If you're looking to fucking get down tonight.
I can't believe you've never shared that with me, because bar mitzvah playlist is the epitome of me.
Yeah, you're, like, really rooted in that era for sure. Your musical interests have not evolved since that time.
Well, yeah, they haven't evolved past 17, I would say, probably.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you know, we fell in love in a hopeless place. That one got through. But anyways.
That one got through. Oh, shoot. It snuck its way through.
Okay, let's do current fixation so we can get into this very serious, very spiritual, very heartwarming conversation. I will start. My current fixation is this salt scrub called Siren of the Sea by Native Nectar. The what is it called? The smell?
The scent? No, the
scent?
The type?
Not the taste. The type? What's it called?
Wait, we have had this conundrum before.
It's not the theme. It's not the type. It's not the taste. I guess it's the smell.
The smell.
I think it's the smell.
Okay. It's the smell of it.
Okay. Wow. This is, we need to come up with another word. Okay.
There is so one. We've done this before. Oh, well.
Okay.
People are screaming at their headphones.
The smell, that doesn't sound right, is, oh God, lavender, juniper, and grapefruit. And it's an exfoliate and moisturized salt scrub, which is what I love because you get the exfoliation, but then it leaves your whole body moisturized. And I'm somebody who needs to moisturize immediately after the shower. So this is a one-stop shop. It is by Native Nectar. I will say, just one tip if you're going to get it and you have one of those shower plug things that catches your hair, take that off because the consistency of this salt scrub is quite thick and it could kind of clog that part of your shower up. It won't clog your shower up. It'll clog the hair catcher up. So every time I put it on, I'll take that off and then wash it off. My friend Tiffany Paul gave it to me. She sent me the most beautiful care package after my book launch when I was a little burnt out of a bunch of things that kind of can help me self-care, relax, etc. So this was in the beautiful care package that she sent me and it's fucking so good. Just so good. So I'm almost out and I need to buy more.
We love a body care current fixation.
Yeah, you know, it's overlooked and it's necessary, especially in the winter seasons.
Yeah, why do we forget about the body? We're so obsessed with the face skin.
Because we haven't been marketed appropriately and haven't been brainwashed into buying as many body products as possible yet, which is, in my opinion, not, you know, an obvious marketplace because the body is much larger than the face. And therefore, I feel as if the products can be purchased on a bigger consumption level. But then again, you really only need like one body product, although not true. You can do the exfoliation, body oil, lotion, bath.
Well, you know what I think it is because I think body acne is a bit more rare than facial acne.
Yeah.
So you just don't see, you know, like there's no evident issues with your body skin that you need to clear up. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, for me, I have ridiculously dry skin. I have to put lotion or body oil or coconut oil all over my body every single morning.
And in your vagine.
Okay. Coconut oil only goes up my vagina mads as lube or if I feel like a yeast infection is coming on. Okay. So
I know that's what I'm saying. And you put it in your vagina.
Yeah. Coconut oil is this magical.
You get yeast infection. We haven't, this is very 2019. Okay. Sis of us. Coconut lube or coconut oil was like, we like didn't go 5 episodes without talking about coconut oil in your vagina.
Because it is.
Do you remember that time? Like what was
yes.
that?
Yes. It's still like coconut oil is a staple.
Yeah. And you're prone to the yeast. You know,
I can't even tell you about my experience with vaginal infections. It's like,
you know, I'm so proud of my body for not subjecting me to that. I don't struggle with that. And I'm so proud of myself for doing that for myself.
That's good. I'm really, is that like a jab at my body? I don't know what to think about myself now. Should I reprimand my body? Should I be pissed at her? I don't know.
No, but I'm just fortunate. So
like literally one time I didn't sleep for over 24 hours because I had such a bad yeast infection. I was in so much pain. And when the doctor looked at my vagina, she gasped and then like had to like pull her composure back together because she had never seen this bad of a yeast infection. I had vaginosis for like a fucking year. This is like an issue.
Of course it's an issue. Yeah, you know, you never want your doctor to gasp at your vagina. That is just a red flag right there.
Anyways, it's been a lot better in my later adult years.
Have you ever had a male gyno?
Potentially once. Yes, I have. He took out my IUD maybe or something.
Because I have, and it was the worst experience. This male gyno was mansplaining the vagina to me. And I was like,
okay,
sir?
Well,
sir?
I mean, he was probably just explaining, but since he's a man, you're saying that he's mansplaining.
No. He was so awkward and rude and telling me how I should feel in my vagine. And I said, sir, you do not have this vagine on your body. So how do you know how it feels?
I mean, how does the psychiatrist know how I feel?
Okay, well, I don't think that's the same, but okay.
Okay, we don't need to share gyno horror stories because I've got plenty, including when a gyno had her fingers at me. After I just told her I was sexually active as a 17-year-old, she said, you know, you should really save yourself for marriage. I was like,
it's like a little
too late. Too late, bitch. Too late.
Late for that.
Okay. What's your current fixation, dude?
Okay. So my current fixation is something that I can't shut the fuck up about. So if you're part of the sisterhood, you probably have seen me ask about this in Geneva, which is our community center, our little community center, and all over the Instagrams. I am obsessed with walking meditations. Like, where have they been all my life? So I'm not a walker. You're a walker, Scout. I've never been a walker. My boyfriend is a big walker. I don't know what it is. I like don't want to get into my exercise outfit to go walking. And if I don't get into my exercise outfit, then I don't want to schwitz outside. I don't want to put, it's a whole dilemma in my brain. It's like I work out in the mornings and I don't want to like do any other activity, right? So I'm not really a big walker, but the other day, I went for a hike by myself, which highly recommend. I do hot girl hikes where I go by myself and put in my headphones and blast Taylor Swift. And it's just a delightful, you know, interconnection that I do. And I was on this hike and I was like, let me just try this walking meditation. I've been really enjoying the app Open, which I've mentioned many times on this podcast so far. And they had one. And I don't know what came over me, but the music, the woman's voice, like, it was like, again, we reference this in this episode, like I was having a sober mushrooms trip. Like I was out of my body, but still in my body, awareness and being a mindful walker gal. I couldn't believe it. So I'm obsessed with walking meditations. And then you recommended
Mimi Bouchard, which we have to get on the podcast, by the way.
Which is so interesting because a sister just DM'd me that Mariana Hewitt had Mimi on her podcast and did a 30-minute walking meditation as a podcast episode, which I thought was a great use of the auditory medium. So
yeah,
so I'm going to listen to that and see how I like it. And then people say that she has an app and stuff, so I'll check that out because wow, what a new world has opened up for me. And, you know, you could take it as slow as possible. It's very mindful and aware of your surroundings. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I got to try that out. I'm going to maybe do one this weekend because you've inspired me.
Thank you. I love to inspire you. That's what I'm here for, really.
Oh, okay. Well, sisters, now that we have talked for far too long on this, what was supposed to be a quick intro, enjoy the meat of this episode. Enjoy Mad's spiritual, elevated, sober mushroom realizations and our mental health check-in. And we love you.
We love you.
The other day, my cousin looked at me and asked if I got a treatment in my hair. I said no, but I am taking Nutrafol. You see, sisters, I had some shedding issues postpartum when it came to my hair, so I made it my mission to support my hair growth and strengthen my hair. I mean, Mads, you saw my hair last time I was up in LA, and you even complimented me. Which, sisters, you know that when Mads compliments me, it's a big deal.
I do have to give this one to you, Scout. Your hair is looking thick, strong and beautiful. When it comes to hair thinning, it's complicated. The problem is it's actually much bigger than your hair alone. Like your skin, hair is a reflection of your health, and internal factors can impact the way your hair looks, feels, and grows. Nutrafol's whole body approach multi-targets underlying root causes like stress, hormone fluctuations, and nutrient gaps for visibly thicker and stronger hair.
Every morning after I eat breakfast, I take 4 pills and it becomes a seamless addition to my morning routine. But the reason I decided to go with Nutrafol when supporting my hair health is that Nutrafol is the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement, with over 1 million people seeing thicker, stronger, faster growing hair with less shedding. Oh, also, Nutrafol makes the best Mother's Day present, especially for new moms. The perfect way to show them that you care about their postpartum support.
Take the first step to visibly thicker, healthier hair. For a limited time, Nutrafol is offering our listeners $10 off your first month's subscription and free shipping when you go to Nutrafol.com and enter the promo code OKSIS. Find out why over 4,500 healthcare professionals and hairstylists recommend Nutrafol for healthier hair. care. Nutrafol.com, spelled NutrAfol.com, promo code OKAYSIS. That's Nutrafol.com, promo code OKSIS. So if you have been hanging out with us on Green Room for past couple months, we have recently changed the name and the theme of this little live podcast that we do from Weekly Hot Takes, because we just started to get like really negative and like unhinged. But obviously we will still talk about pop culture when the appropriate time comes, of course. And so we have updated it to Mental Health Check-In, because we're mental health girlies. We like to check in.
We went from gals to girlies.
Yeah, I kind of fucked the little thing there. Yes, so we are mental health galleys, which is a combination of gals and girlies. And we're just like, you know, depressed queens, and we're so excited.
Speak for your fucking self. I am not identifying on the internet as a depressed queen, okay? I'm not 19 on Tumblr.
I know, that was very TikTok of me. I apologize. Okay, so we're just going to check in with each other every Thursday at 3 p.m. And obviously with you all, dear listeners and dear Green Room audience members. So let's do a mental health check-in right now for me. Scott, it's really interesting because I haven't sent you a voice note. I keep wanting to, and then I like forget to, and I forget to text you because it's about too long. But I have turned a corner. I have turned a new leaf.
Oh my God.
The leaf has been turned over, and I am doing so much better than I was when you had to give me tough love that one afternoon when I was breaking down. And many people probably can relate to this. You know, I was in a rut. I was in a just constant funk, as people would call it. And this week I feel light. I feel like I am living my truest and highest self-worth. I'm operating from a place of growth and opportunity. And all I can say is that I hope that I can sustain this mentality and this newfound appreciation for life and for myself. I still know that inevitably there will be challenges and there will be more ruts that come. But I do want to make sure that I remember this state of being so that I can somehow plug it in to when challenges arise in the future. So I'm, you know what? It is a good mental health day and week.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so two things. One, when you said, I want to try to sustain this, I always feel the same way when I go up. And I feel like when I say that to myself, it's just makes the inevitable challenging moment come down, you know, offbeat moment feel like a defeat because I thought that I could sustain it. So just want to take the pressure off that this doesn't have to last forever, that emotions come in cycles, and that using this moment as kind of this evidence that you come back to this next time you feel down is so beautiful. Can you, one, I'm just so happy. I feel like I was, you know, a little ant pushing the leaf over for you. So
Yes.
I feel as if my energy and my strategy was quite successful here. Not that I'm taking complete credit here, but I'm so happy. This like, oh, makes my heart sing. Can you give some tangible either steps or can you walk us through what it felt like when you started to move through the funk and out the other end?
Yeah, a couple things. And I think even I expressed this to you where I said, you know, I'm doing the gratitude, I'm doing the meditation, I'm doing the workout, I'm doing the journaling. And it just like nothing makes me feel bad. I realized, and what you had pointed out to me, is that it is a compounding interest, right? Like it's all these little days and moments that you be consistent in those practices. And then ultimately it comes to a fruition like this week I'm having this week. So honestly, I didn't really change anything dramatically. I just continued with my journaling. As everyone knows, I've been doing the manifestation challenge with Lacey Phillips. So that has helped me to stay accountable each day to do those little deep imaginings and things of that nature. And then honestly, it's just, I don't even know how, you know how we talked about, I think it was two episodes ago, where I was like,
that one meditation, or maybe it was this, I don't even know, that one meditation where it said, like, think about how you have legs. And it like shook me, because you could say that to someone over and over and over again. Like, how many times have you gone through meditation and it's been a body scan and they say, like, think about your legs, like that, you know, but it never sunk into me until that moment. And you kind of talked about like the revelation and the actual like spiritual moment that like your body just like is like shook, you know, and you're just like, whoa, I have legs. And it's like this really weird out of body experience almost.
It's a sober mushroom trip, I call it. Like, that's when you feel like you're seeing things so clearly, and you're seeing things like above. It's almost as if you're seeing a reality that's above reality.
Yeah, I love that. Haven't done mushrooms, but I'm excited that I kind of experienced it. That's good. So that happened to me again this week, where, you know, that we're gratitude whores. We fucking talk about gratitude all the time. We're always writing in our little gratitude, all the stuff we're grateful for, and expressing it. And I don't know why, but this week in particular, something just like truly sunk in for me about how I am enough and I have enough. And I also have everything I need already. Like, I already have everything. And I'm not even talking about like material things, which I also had that sink in of just how grateful and amazing and blessed I am to have everything I need. And I literally do not need to buy another sweatsuit. Like, I have it all. And that's not like a greedy thing. It's not like a greedy thing.
So true.
It's just like, I have them. Like, I don't need anything. Mm-hmm. It's like this really beautiful appreciation for, you know, I have the food I need. I have I have the material, but also I have everything inside of me to succeed. And I think I was really, really low self-worth and self-pity and self-deprecating the past month, because I was like, oh, I don't have the X, Y, and Z. Therefore, you know, and it was definitely operating out of a fixed mindset. So now I came to this, I don't know if it was a meditation. I really don't even know what was the exact moment, but just this week I've been feeling so overcome with gratitude and like capability. I'm like, even if I don't know how to do this, like, I can fucking figure it out. Like, I have the motivation. I have the tools. I have a computer. I have access to a network. I can email people. Like, it's just this amazing realization. And it definitely was me standing in my own way, as you had pointed out to me in your tough loveness towards me, that it was me standing in my own way. And then when you just like step back and realize that you actually have everything within you, and you're like, all your manifest, I guess that you should have dreams and goals, whatever, but it's like, those things are already happening. Like, you're already making the goal. Does that make sense? Like, I'm literally like, I already have it within me. Oh, you know what? I think this is when it was, I was doing the manifestation deep imagining, and she asked to visualize yourself now, visualize yourself in like 15 years, and then visualize yourself in like 20 years. Right. So basically in 20 years, you picture yourself as your highest self-worth and whatever. And then having that person integrate with yourself currently. And I don't know, it's just something was like, oh, wait, I am that person already that I'm like projecting out into the future. Like, that person is me. Oh, is any of this resonating?
I have the absolute biggest smile on my face right now, because what you just described is enjoying the journey and not the destination. Because
yes,
you feel fulfilled by your internal world. And that's the definition of enjoying the journey, is when internally you are happy. Internally, you can feel what it feels like to be that 20, you know, year in advance projection. And since you can feel that, it already is you right now, because you have the capability to feel that. So what you're saying is just the subtext of everything you just said is a very, very spiritual concept that time is an illusion, right? That we can access different points of times with our emotional state. And you are integrating the internal experience as the most important part. And once your internal experience becomes the most fulfilling, grateful, sound, awake, alive place,
your external world is going to start to reflect that in such a beautiful way, which is the definition of manifestation. You change your energy, you change your belief system, you change the way you feel about your life, and then things unfold because, you know, good energy attracts good energy, etc. If you're frazzled and stressed, you constrict, and if you're open and grateful, you allow for more to come in. So this is so major, Mads. So major.
Yeah. Look at me. You know, my 2022 goal was to live in the journey and not the destination. And I think I have completed that goal. Check.
Oh my gosh. Seriously, the way that you're speaking is so great. And it's such a good reminder that all of the little things that we do, you know, the journaling, the this, the that, even when we don't feel good, we have to keep going because it is little incremental things that do add up eventually that will break through those, I don't want to say negative energy, but that discomfort or the constriction or the fear or the scarcity, you know. I sent you this podcast episode, which when I was listening to it, I knew that I was literally listening to it so that I could send it to you. Tom Bilyeu was a guest on Rachel Hollis's conference, and so she recorded it and sent it. And everything that Tom, he's the founder of Quest, he sold Quest for $1 billion. Everything Tom said was a literal message to you, Mads. I was listening to it, and I couldn't believe that I felt as if the entire episode, he was talking to you.
Whoa. This is a human man?
Yeah, Tom Bilyeu. You never heard of Tom Bilyeu?
No.
You know Quest Bars?
Oh, yeah.
He's the founder. He sold it for $1 billion.
Oh, do I know Quest Bars? I used to eat about 5 a day when I was at NYU, and I would put them in the microwave and pretend that they were cookies.
Okay, that sounds like disordered eating, but moving on.
Very disordered eating.
That sounds like real disordered eating. But I'm just so happy right now. Oh my God. Just, I actually am a little bit speechless because the way you just spoke was definitely another elevated version, your highest version of who you are. You know, in Dr. Joe Dispenza's book, Supernatural, he uses the chakras. He really explains the chakras in a way that is just going to blow your mind, Mads. He doesn't call them chakras. He calls them energy centers. And
I call them. Me and Dr. Joe are one and the same.
Yeah, you got to read this book, man. I'm telling you. So he says that the first three.
No, we need to make a book club like schedule and shit.
Yeah, my friend Lauren wants to join, which like once you meet Lauren, ooh, you go to a different world. You go to a different realm. Ooh. She is a motherfucking vortex. Every time I talk to her, I'm like, oh my God, you are a magical person. But anyways, so he describes healing in a really, really beautiful way. And that the first three energy centers are all based within the human experience. So we have the root chakra, we have the creative sexual chakra, we have the personal power chakra. Those three chakras are all around survival, pleasure, creativity, competition, growth, like everything that we as human beings have to experience on earth, right? And then once you can not master, but feel content and heal those three chakras is when you can move upwards into the heart chakra, the throat chakra, the third eye chakra, and the crown chakra, which all four of those energy centers are elevated, more spiritual and divine centers to live in. So if you only live in the first three chakras, you are only living in the confines of like the human matter experience, you know? But it's once you can heal your root chakra, heal your all those three areas, make sure that your life feels good on a survival physical standpoint, and then you can elevate to the higher energy levels and you channel through a lot clearer. So it sounds
this sounds like Maslow's hierarchy of needs, like getting like you have the foundation and the basic needs, and then you can like rise to self-actualization.
Yeah, that's literally it with the metaphor and visualization of the chakra system.
Okay, I'm into it.
Yeah, this book's insane.
How are you doing? What does a mentally healthy scout look like this week?
So this week, I am really, really proud of myself because I am going through definitely a lot of expansion right now, which I seem to, you know, kind of be a theme that I do all of it at once. So confidentially, even though this is public, I am in escrow on my first home. And so that's definitely, you know, financially, thank you, financially scary. I just signed a lease last month on an office. And so not only, you know, you got to pay the deposit, first month's rent, parking, and then you're furnishing it. So I'm really investing there. I'm also bringing on a new team member to Scouts Agency this month, and I am launching a project that I really invested in and put down for. So I am definitely feeling the financial expansion and investment that I'm putting on, and I miscalculated some of my bank statements, and I, after feeling sick for a couple of days, I was calculating it, and I just felt myself enter into the veil and the trap of fear and scarcity. And I felt myself being on this hamster wheel. Like I kept adding up the numbers and adding up the numbers, and then they would come up different every time because I was tired and scared and anxious and constricting. And I felt my survival, you know, chakra get really threatened. And I just entered into this complete spiral of telling myself narratives of I'm bad with money and I take too many risks. And why can't I just chill for 2 seconds? And why do I keep, you know, all these narratives about myself? And I went to my coach and I boxered her and I sent a voice note and I said, you know, like, this is happening to me right now. I'm spiraling. And I would just feel better if I had $4,000 extra this month in my business. And I caught myself, this was like 25 minutes of just deep spiral. And I caught myself and I said, wait a minute. 2021 showed you evidence that you can trust your desires, that you can trust yourself to make financial investments, that you can trust your business leadership. There actually is no evidence that you are bad with money. You grew your business 60% last year. You hit revenues towards the end of the year that were beyond your goal. When you invested in your book launch, look at the return it gave you. And so I intercepted that spiral and that fear and scarcity and that like really intense moment. And I was able to remind my mind of the evidence negating all of these negative limiting belief story narratives that I told myself. And so I have lived, 2021 showed me that living in scarcity only gives you more scarcity. And so I intercepted, I recognized the mind loop my mind was on. I recognized that there was, because I was in a fearful, heightened state, there was no way for me to actually see the truth of my life in that moment because I was focusing in on one specific narrative out of survival. And so I stopped what I was doing. I closed my computer. I made myself eat dinner and cook dinner. I did a meditation. I helped my body feel safe. I did my mantra. I'm safe in my emotions. I entered into trust. I prayed to God. I listened to music that helped me get back in. And I just realigned in gratitude and really identifying the abundance in my life. And I was able to intercept, change the feeling, change the emotion, change the belief, change the narrative, and wake up the next day and feel really excited about my life and was able to more accurately see the real picture, which is that I'm fucking fine. And then the next day, I literally signed an extra $4,000 for my business. So this week, I'm feeling really proud because I was able to be self-aware to stop myself in a spiral and intercept it and choose a new feeling and a new belief system in that moment, which prompted me towards abundance and surrender and trust in myself. And I was able to walk myself on the other side of it within a matter of like 12 hours, where before a spiral like that could have taken me out for like a week, you know? So mentally feeling strong and proud today.
Wow. Okay. Well, that is incredible. I mean, I feel like I relate a little bit to that, you know, telling yourself basically lies.
It's like just like
forgetting your resume, not even resume, just like forgetting what you have been through and being like, whoa, like where are these thoughts coming from? Like I have evidence to prove otherwise. It's so interesting that we do that.
Well, Dr. Joe Dispenza says that when you're in a fear or fight or flight or survival mode, stressful mode, your body actually releases chemicals that do not allow you to see past the exact situation at hand. So you narrowly focus in on the thing that's wrong, that's causing you to feel that way. And so you actually don't have the biological and chemical ability in that moment to see past it. So that's why you fixate. That's why you keep going and going and going and going. So when you feel yourself stressed and in fear or scarcity, you have to pause and intercept by a meditation, by a bath, by a walk, by a happy song. The chemical flood, he says, lasts like 90 seconds to 2 minutes, like the really big rush. And so just accepting that you're feeling that way and finding ways to intercept will allow your body to chemically not pump out those things that allow you and force you to narrowly focus on what's wrong. And so you can pick yourself up and see the...
Whoa. Yeah. It's interesting though, because I do agree with that in terms of like the interception, but at what point does it become a little bit of a avoidance almost? And
so that's,
the fact that we have to sit in discomfort.
So there's a difference between something happened beyond your external physical life that makes you feel upset and you have to process. There's a difference between that, like, hey, this is terrible, but it's coming to mind. Someone close to me passed away. Like, you have to sit in the discomfort of that grief, right? But more often than not, the emotional challenges that we are faced with every single day are fucking made up by us. They're lies.
Yeah.
They're complete and total lies. And so it doesn't mean that in that moment, the reality of the responsibility of my life within my business and buying a home and hiring a team member, et cetera, that's all real. And I don't need to bypass that, but I'm not going to be able to process it and healthily come to the table if I'm in a spiral that is lying to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that.
So it's so nuanced. And I think the deeper we go into our mental health journeys, Mads, we get to, I think the first step is like sitting in the discomfort. And then the second step is, which discomfort do I have to sit in, and which discomfort do I have to say, you're not serving me anymore and it's time for you to leave. And that's the next level. And so when you come across the discomfort that no longer serves you, you get to, with the tools that you've created, intercept it and rewire your chemical brain to believe and feel other things. We have the ability to feel elevated emotions whenever we want to. We just think that elevated emotions, love, happiness, gratitude, excitement, pride, have to be determined on an external factor, but it's not the truth. So if we can practice feeling love, happiness, gratitude every single day, as many times throughout the day as possible, our brains will get chemically rewired to have that be our norm versus fear, discomfort, scarcity, anxiety, etc.
Yeah. Wow. So what a great first kickoff of our mental health check-in, weekly check-ins on Green Room.
I agree, man. This was fruitful.
This was fruitful. This was delicious. I'm eating the fruits. I'm eating the strawberries. What are you eating?
Nothing, but I'm going to go home because I have blackberries and raspberries at home, which blackberries is next level luxury.
Metaphorical strawberry.
Nothing's coming to mind. So.
What fruit are you eating?
Blackberries.
Okay, great. Good. All right. Thank you to everyone. Eat a metaphorical fruit. Eat from the fruit of life. And
go forth
and prosper.
Go forth and prosper. Baruch Hashem, the universe has your back, and I love you.
What a sign off. All right, goodbye.
Love you. Bye.
Do you ever feel like you're struggling through motherhood? You're not alone. I'm Erica Jossa, host of the Momwell podcast, therapist and mom of three. Join me each Wednesday as I sit down with guests, including psychologists, pediatricians, psychiatrists, fertility specialists, lactation consultants, and more, to unravel the myths of motherhood. With expert advice, practical tips, self-love, and some coping skills to help you along the way, you can become the mother you want to be. Listen to the Momwell podcast at momwell.com/listen or on your favorite podcast platform.